Melissa just felt a word which is confirmed because it's just sitting. I just felt the sense of the Lord. Steven was sharing, and just as we ended this beautiful song, just this picture of a cup overflowing, this word of abundance. Taryn was sharing with me in the car. Just a sense of like there's more than enough in the Lord for us to be overflowing and full and have more than we need from Him, in Him, by Him, so that everything that is a challenge in life or anything that looks rather large and what He's called us to pales in comparison because we're living in overflow. And it's a beautiful place to live. And I wanted to read a psalm. I don't have the psalm on the board, but Psalm 23 and verse 5 just came to me now as we were in worship. And Psalm 23 and verse 5 goes like this: "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Well known. "You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows." And the overflowing cup speaks of abundance and provision and protection in that time. But as we know, for us in the church age and the New Testament age, our cup continues to overflow even by the supply of the Holy Spirit from our Father God to give us all that we need. We actually are in a better covenant than the Old Testament. David was the most incredible, wasn't he? Yet we are in this better covenant even than David. And David knew where his supply came from. He lived in abundance. He knew his protection. He knew who would go before him. And he certainly faced giants, literally, but he faced many giants and he overcame in the strength of his God. How much more for us to live in abundance and to live overcoming. So I felt to just say, you know, this thing that the Lord wants to shake in us. I think sometimes it's a compartmentalizing and the little that I have, I can control. Maybe the outcome is the word that came. So I'm safe in that place. I want to say following the Lord is not safe, but He's good. He's amazing. And the best place to be is with Him, following our good Father who cares. But in that is a little bit of risk, a little bit of messy. But in the overflow of His supply and abundance, we actually find that that is the place where worry and anxiety goes. When we try to control and live within our limitations and try to work out how it's going to work, we end up not in a good place. We end up in a place of worry and anxiety, don't we? So I wanted to jump to two scriptures which Bianca and Tracy do have. And the first one is the greatest commandment. The disciples were asking Jesus about what is the greatest commandment. And it should come up in a moment. There it is. So they asked Him, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" And the Lord Jesus replied, "Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." So I wanted to start with that and go, this is our place of, this is our source. This is our supply. If we leave that up for a moment, this is our place. As we look to Him, as we love the Lord our God, the author of salvation, the one who gave us life, the one who gives us my next breath. Right now, that's because of Him. Right now, I thank Him for that breath and the next one and the next one. And every bit of health that He's given us for today, everything that He's given us to get us through today, the provision and tomorrow once again. And we love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul and with all of our mind. That is everything of us. There's no part that we can hold back because it's heart, soul, and mind. He commands us with everything that we are to give Him our absolute love and adoration and attention. And that's our first and greatest commandment. And then we know we have the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, which is a lot more practical. This was very hearty. Then in the practical commission, Jesus speaking to the 11 disciples here on the mountain, and He says, "Go to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.'" Now we know this, and teaching them, you can go to verse 20, thank you. that large writing, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus' promise is that he's with us all the way through, right to the end, supplying all that we need. Yes, to teach people, to baptize, to make disciples, there's a lot of function. And sometimes we camp on the function and the doing. And even after last night, we can get so excited about the things that God has called us to do. And we must be enthusiastic, and we must see the expansion and the advance. But without loving him and adoring him and pouring out our life and our perfume over him, we will not be able to do what he's called us to do. The Great Commission will sink us. We may move into our own strength, something that Liam shared with me earlier. And we are to find him in love and adoration. And from that place, he moves us. He moves our hearts first before we can move our hands. It took a long time to move my heart to jump into Greenpoint, what has not become Seapoint. It didn't just happen overnight. It's not like Neil was just, all right, let's go, Great Commission. I said, Morris and Taryn and those close to me, no, the Lord had to bring me into a deep place of, yes, Lord, by faith I see, because from now there's no turning back. We're in this. We give our lives again afresh to a new thing, to something new that you're asking us to do. 8 years on. Is May 9 years or 8 years, by the way? 2026 May. Are we going nine? My daughter's age. Our daughter's age, Rebecca, of course, because she was in nappies when we started. But you know, we're ready to do it all again. Would we do it again? Please raise your hands if you're here in the very beginning. I saw you all in the prayer meeting. It was like half the prayer meeting were the originals. I was so like, this is awesome. Armand, Melissa, Isaac, Rox, Marius, Tracy, Dale, yeah, who else? There were a few others. Joe, Lundy came a little bit after. Thank you, Lord, for Lundy. Kept Joe on the front foot, still on the front foot. Audrey, where's Audrey? A big welcome to Maria. It's her first service with us. Little few-week-old Maria is one of the originals. Audrey's with baby number three. So precious to have all five of you here today. But that thing, will we go again? Will we expand? And you know, I can look at, and we did look at some of the prophetic words last night over us over the years, and you can so easily grab hold of, and we haven't grasped that. It's been in the cupboard, but we'll take it again. And yes, Lord is speaking what he's saying. So that prophetic word fills you with excitement again, but we won't go unless and until the Lord is doing it. And when by his Spirit, he brings about the advance and the expansion. But I do want to say, when we started 9 years ago, many times on that board, hey, AV guys, we had the picture of Greenpoint and you would see the stadium, right? You know, Neil loves a soccer stadium every now and then. I never got to play in one. My little boy had dreams. I didn't quite make the stadium, Lord. But what if the Lord opens a stadium for the believers to reach the lost and the numbers to come in, fill the stadium, not just with rugby or soccer, but with his people? Imagine worshiping in a stadium full. Hey, and just people coming to know the Lord in our areas. Listen, one of the giants of our land is the amount of people coming into our neighborhoods and forcing the locals to hustle for property and not being able to live where they want to live to serve God. Every, you know, from Seapoint down to Hart Bay, it's become so challenging to find a home, let alone afford a home. That is a giant on a practical level. But if God has asked us to take this land and to expand the territory for him, can we trust him for homes? Could we look beyond homes and trust him for stadiums again? For gatherings, for city-wide gatherings. Imagine Dion and Kim. Imagine a city-wide gathering in the stadium with the city-wide churches in every suburb and every township on the outskirts of our city, full of God's people and many coming to salvation. Of course, God is able to do that if we don't see the giants, but we do see the promised land. I don't have the scripture, but I wanted to just read from Numbers. You guys know where I'm going. In the book of Numbers, there was 12 spies were sent out. 10 went into the land and came back to Moses, to the promised land, with a report. And the report was quite negative. They saw the giants, literal giants. they saw the descendants of the Nephilim, the giants. They did see physical giants. They saw that they looked, they used the phrase, we looked like grasshoppers in the land, like we would be squashed. And their report was quite negative. But Caleb and Joshua said something very different. And I'd like to read that to us in a moment. I'll tell you where it is so you can also follow. Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 to 9. So Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those, the 12, who had spied out the land. Oh, we're there. Okay. They tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread to us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Now we can apply so much of that to our life. If we think of the advance, if we're getting excited about starting a home group, stepping up into leadership, reaching the lost, growing in evangelism, advancing, getting stuck in our workplace Monday to Friday, getting involved in Sea Point High School and coming with us when there's everything that might be standing in your heart right now, or rising in your heart in faith, is a beautiful thing. Trust the Lord for it. But there will be giants. There will be moments when you count the cost, and where fear may try to come in. But we are called to be those like Caleb and Joshua. Here's the response from the Lord. Numbers 14 and verse 24. Verse 24 of that chapter 14. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and followed me wholeheartedly, or fully, followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. God is looking for people like Caleb, Joshua, who have a whole different spirit, a different attitude, a different outlook, a different viewpoint, a different stance. And if you're anything like me, you can see giants and you can let it overtake your thinking sometime. It's a reality that we do face. But there was something that these two caught, and it was a blessing. And it's a picture for us that while there are giants, we are to have a spirit like Caleb and Joshua. They saw the Lord through the challenge. They saw the Lord through the circumstance. They saw the Lord through their perceived lack. They saw the Lord through their perceived inabilities. They saw the Lord through the practical. And I think sometimes the practical leaves us in a place where even this week, practically, we may look, Wednesday night, come, we're back, kids are crying, back at work, it's end of Jan, everything's hotting up, and the giant is, everyone will talk about it, Jan's flown by, can't believe it's Feb, work is crazy, church is getting busy, the kids are crying, there's a gathering, well, we're at a deacon's meeting, we're at a leaders meeting, and 3 nights a week is going to kill me, I can't do more. Are we wanting to control the outcome? Are we living from a place of abundance? Are we living from our strength? Or are we living from a cup that overflows, where the abundance of God's Spirit empowers us to do all and more? Because that's what He has for us. When we are in Him, our calendars belong to Him. Our schedules, our sleep patterns, our energy, our sustenance, everything comes from Him. You know, and when we live in that place of abundant overflow, we are able to step out of what we can control. And suddenly, we're not boxed into the little. And suddenly, we move from a place of, as leaders, helping people to make small adjustments. But actually, the big adjustment is this. Jesus called His disciples out of their careers. Fishermen, tax collectors, and they gave up everything immediately to follow Him. And some of the disciples said, but Lord, I must bury my father. Jesus said, well, let the dead bury the dead. Those who want to follow me, come. Others, he said, to others. What did he say? I don't even have a place to sleep. We struggle to find homes in our city. Jesus never had a home, never had a place to put his head. He called his disciples out of the circumstances, out of the practical, out of the worries of the day. Come and follow me. It will cost you everything. But the joy set before Jesus, the joy set before the early disciples, the joy set before the early church. I want to say the joy set before Joshua Generation Church, Seapoint. The joy set before us. Again, it's like the Lord is repositioning us for something fresh. Do you remember the joy you had at first when you said, yes, 35 of you from City Bowl to come out into Greenpoint? We did it because we saw the joy of the Lord and the abundance that he was supplying in that time. I feel like what the Lord is doing in us is a new season within Joshua Generation, within our field, within our ring, within a ring, within the Olympic banner, you remember? Within our areas, within our places of expansion and growth, there are opportunities all around. But without the joy, without seeing him, without looking at Jesus and being filled with the joy that he supplies by his Spirit, we will stop short when there's a third meeting in a week and we can't quite understand how we're going to get into that place. Well, there is and only ever will be one way of sacrificing, and that's in his abundant grace and in his supply and in the everything that he gives us. And that's about coming to the source, living in that place, living with him, so that he may fill our hearts with grace and supplication and peace to guard our minds, strength to overcome, wisdom to face the circumstantial and practical things we need to face. And he supplies it all. James, in the first chapter of James, he has this beautiful passage where he says to the believers reading this New Testament letter, if any of you lacks wisdom, which is probably one of the things we need to pray for and ask way more, and I'm speaking to myself. I think if you'd ask me, what's the one thing you'd ask for? Grace, power, miracles. God, no, give me wisdom, Lord. Because with wisdom, like we see Solomon speaking in Ecclesiastes, who'd made many, 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 many mistakes. That's why it's a great book and a great person to have in the Bible, because we can learn from him. I would ask for wisdom, because wisdom we can apply to everything. Finances, circumstances. Wisdom from you, Lord, is what we want for our congregation, for our lives, to be able to reach the neighborhoods that God may be calling us to. Wisdom from you, Lord. And James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask. But ask and do not doubt. Ask with faith. Faith is this, that Lord, when I ask, I know you will supply. I know you will hear me, and I know you will give what I need, because you are good and you are faithful and you are true. Asking with faith. But he warns us not to ask with any shadow of doubt. Because if we do, we are like waves tossed to and fro, and we are not worthy to be able to run with the Lord with any shadow of a doubt. Ask with faith. And even that faith comes from him. So Lord, give me faith, so that when I ask you for wisdom, you've supplied the faith that I may ask you in a way that there's no doubt that you will supply. And thank you for that wisdom. And in that place, we find ourselves in the source. Just an example of how we can find him in the source of what we need for today. So, some of those prophetic words, and I felt to just share just one that the Lord spoke over us. There are many. But this particular one was from from 2024. We actually were here already. It was early in the year 2024, February. Melanie was with us, and she shared over people. She gave some new people some interesting prophetic words as well. But she spoke over us, and she says, you guys are a net. You guys, us, we're a net. Do we know that? We know that we're a net. You're a net to catch new believers. You're a net to catch the lost. You're a net to catch the tourists. Hello, Arnold and Mariana. The tourists that we're never going to let go. You know that every year, okay? But you're a net to the travelers. And many in the congregation would also go and advance. We know that. But that we would be ones that are sent into the nations and sent out from a place of interdependence rather than independence. The timing would be right. It would be God's timing. And the Lord would speak to both the leaders and the saints. And a deeper trust would come. And a deep honoring in this house would remain. Just about 2 years ago. 2 years before that, in November 2022, last one. This was a group from Durbanville, a couple of guys I know quite well, but they had a big team as well. They felt the Lord saying there'll be a bearing of 12 crops. Do you remember? You're going to plant 12 churches out of your local congregation. Some of you sitting here might be part of those 12 plants. So get yourself ready and be prepared. Like we said previously, a light on the hill, you will be a lighthouse. The lighthouse has come many years. Obviously, we used to meet close to the Greenpoint Lighthouse, the Mully Point Lighthouse. But a lighthouse attracts ships, and sometimes the ship misses the guidance that they were given, and they do crash. So you're going to have some crashed ships, some crashed people coming in here for healing, which we've seen the Lord do. And this is what the church is for, and we thank him for that. But we will see his face. They will see his face. They'll come to know him. And I want to assure you, Seapoint congregation, that your God sees each and every one of you. You'll be known and you'll be assured of your salvation in this household. Hold on to that. You don't need anything other than Jesus himself. And he will cause you to shine as you already are shining. Okay. Encouraging, eh? Thanks for the water and the lid. Whoever took that off, Morris, thank you. If you turn your back for a moment, your water lid is off and it's Mario, so be careful. Don't just grab it. Just whenever you pick up water near Mario, go carefully, because in all likelihood he's won the race and the lid is off. Only thing is it's a bit small, Mario. I was expecting a big Steenkamp water, the kind of bottle that lasts the whole day, you know those ones. But So in that last while, Louis and Jessica are planted out into California and serving as deacons there. I think they were the first there were no deacons in the church in San Clemente until they arrived. And we know they are playing a role in all the busyness of having a third child now and a career to set up and an office to set up. But in all that, they're giving themselves supporting one of our congregations in a key place. I look at Reeve, who went off to the Netherlands. Out of us, married the wonderful Cloudy, have a heart to plant in Germany. I'm sure it will happen out of the Netherlands into Germany. They'll be involved one way or the other, we're pretty certain. Amazing. Reeve couldn't talk when he first arrived in Greenpoint, couldn't open his mouth. Couldn't get a word out. Could not get a word out. And I honor our brother, he's a brother to us. But to see the Lord's hand grow a man in every way, far and beyond, you know, it's just incredible to see how the Lord has done so much through a small group of people who said yes. Juliana said yes. I remember Audrey and I sitting with her one night and this directional change in her young life. She came from Stellenbosch to us, got baptized and went off to KZN because she was planted there with her medical field. She had to go there for medicine. Started practice, married a man, came onto eldership in the KZN Richards Bay Church, now in Durban North, helping lead Durban North congregation within 412, doing so well. Now parents saw them in Durban just recently in December. So wonderful to see that inheritance of a young lady. You know, sometimes you think a plant's going to look like, well, this couple who are ready now and experienced will go and start a work for the Lord in that suburb or that city. It doesn't always look like that. I thought it looked like that in the beginning, but as I've seen how God works, it actually all looks very different how he advances and when and where and through whom. Ross and Lee have now started a church in Bedford View. They had what they would call their cul-de-sac time in their 3 years in Seapoint. They love this neighborhood and they love you to bits, but they know that the Lord has called for advance. At some point they would go, but their cul-de-sac journey was a huge blessing to us, of course, but also they had a time to rest and restore and recover, and now they are shot out again in a beautiful area of Joburg called Bedford View, which is massive and very central, and they're going for it again. They are leading a congregation. Lelani left us. Yanko took her to Zambia. They are now leading a church in Lusaka, in the heart of Zambia, really doing well, and a beautiful place that God has a wonderful footprint in a very special part of Central Africa. And of course, Carl and Shoshana in Israel, who we spoke to this week, who are doing nicely, who were actually on a call to Reeve, who from the Netherlands is just being a bridge to help them. Because Reeve has gone before and he's left all of us. And he knows how challenging it can be on your own. So by his own steam, Carl and Reeve have built a weekly connection to encourage one another. And Carl and Shosh and the kiddies are heading off to the conference in Europe this year in June, July, to be part of what's happening in the Netherlands, which is the European conference, the UK, and we're just to strengthen and keep relationships strong. And look at that, that's like six, you know, that's like a lot that's happened already in very different ways. And it's an encouragement to us that some of them are very far. Like USA, Netherlands, Lusaka, Zambia, Israel, Durban North. It's far. You say goodbye to people and it's like, but what about our land right here? I think the Lord wants us to continue dreaming because our hall, fortunately, it might be old and a little bit grubby, but we can expand here. There's still space for many kids. Kids are very quiet today. Sure. We need to have some more. Come on, guys. Let's get busy. But there's space for children. There's space for adults. There's space for expansion. There's space for new homes. We have started talking to some of you about opening your homes, hospitality, getting some community groups going soon now in the next part of this year. We do need more homes for visitors and people to come in and find family. But the expansion that we're trusting for is beyond. You know, there's Camps Bay, there's Hout Bay, there's Komaki, there's Noordhoek. And the closest that we have is really, you know, our congregation in Sea Point. Maybe the Musenberg guys with Dylan Heike, maybe Weinberg, City Bowl. We're all in the outskirts of the city. But what about dreaming? Lord, what do you want to do in those neighborhoods? What would it take? A home that becomes a train station for the Lord and his people to be used in those areas. Somebody moving, somebody saying, hey, I'll go. And you know what? There's nothing better than me front foot to say, listen, I'd love to lead something one day. I'd love to. You know, there's no... it's not like an overconfident thing. I have an elder friend who I won't mention. He told Ryan, I think I'm your next elder, Ryan. And I remember sitting in a meeting, but you know what? They serve on eldership now. And I love that about my friend. He's got a boldness about him. Why not? Why not in the Lord? So like, I feel like the Lord's got this for me. What do you think, guys? Versus waiting and waiting. This is the season to step forward. Boldly, in the presence of God, by his strength and his wisdom, to step into what he may have for you and for us. So remind, as I finish with this, and it's a word that came in our very first 6 months of Sea Point, is that our inheritances are tied together. Isaac brought a word in prayer about interdependence. We are an interdependent people. We're dependent on our Lord and the Holy Spirit, but we're also dependent on one another. And we can't take the land in the way that God sees for us without each of us stepping into what he has for us individually. So as we take one another's hills, as you help Neil take and Taryn take our hill and our battle and overcome and be victorious in the things God is calling us to, then we take ground and you take ground with us. But we need to help one another because each of us have hills to take. And here's the thing that I've learned very practically in the last year, which I've known theoretically. When you have a mountain or a giant or a circumstance or a thing that the Lord wants to shake and do in you, you can go try and go around that mountain. It's a long distance. It's like a mountain that, when do you get around it, Lord? No. The more you try to go around, the wider the mountain gets. You can't go around. In God, the only way is through. The painful way, but it's his good way. Take us through our battles. Take us through our areas of sin and struggle. To take us through the pride of life. There's not a mountain that we can go around with him. We have to face it head on. We have to go through. And the majority of the time, we're not going to do it alone, even though we have him. But he chooses us to do it in an independent family called his body and his church. So that's why when a Haley comes up and talks about finances, that giant, you're not getting through without others. We are here to help one another through even the areas that are hard to show. Now that belongs in my heart. That's a private one. That's exactly the one that the Lord wants you to go through. And it takes getting it out to him and to others. Lord, through that mountain with you and with your people. And then the expansion can come. And then the inheritance can come for you. And then the inheritance can come for us as we go through our own personal mountains and battles. Amen.